This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 230, which I'm calling something like a Rolling Stone. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm feeling like as I prepare for yet another trip down to the great state of Tennessee this week. There is light at the end of the tunnel, though, as we're getting down to the nitty-gritty with our packing things up. Now, the sale of our New York property is another matter, and that's a matter for another time. Right now, we're concentrating on just packing up what we want to keep and getting rid of things we don't want to keep. You know, 25 years worth of five people's stuff is hard to sort out. Alrighty then, what do you say we get to it?
Yes! Yes!
Relocation update. Our drive back north went smoothly until we hit the highway towards the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge. Besides traffic being backed up, a deluge of rain descended upon us, and this lasted all the way to our destination. There always seems to be something happening to cause some sort of delay. Ah, well, what can you do? I don't remember if I already told you, but we finally took delivery of the furniture we had ordered back in June. Everything went smoothly, and I must say, the Tennessee property is beginning to feel like home. Now, if only the mattress we ordered for our new bed would have arrived. Well, that delivery is set for Tuesday. Our neighbors will be holding on to it until we arrive on Thursday. On this trip, we'll be concentrating on getting a couple of area rugs and curtains, bringing in a handyman to install the curtain rods for those curtains, and things like toilet paper holders and towel racks. Maybe even shower doors when you get rid of the shower curtains we're using now. Perhaps even getting a fence around our tiny backyard. Okay, I get it. I'll move on now.
Yay!
Tech news. Google monopolized search through illegal deals, judge rules, and this unquote reads a headline from Bloomberg.com. Though I feel this judgment comes too late to really have any impact or even matter, well, it's a start. Google ensures its Chrome browser and/or search engine comes standard on devices such as iPhones and Galaxy phones, as well as others. That's by paying manufacturers millions of dollars to do so. In Apple's case, it's estimated the Big G pays around $2 billion per year, and that's billion with a B.
Whoa.
And that's to ensure their search engine is the default one on all Apple devices. Besides Chrome's memory-hogging problems, I have nothing against it. Google's search engine, though, is a different matter altogether. Google has been called out in the past and is being called out as I speak of favoritism towards big advertisers and certain political parties with the company's search results. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This wasn't the reason for the judgment, though. No. Money is the reason, as it always is.
Yes.
By having this monopoly, Google can increase prices for text advertisements while also pushing competitors out of said market. This has been a complaint about Google for many years now, but seemed to fall on deaf ears. I guess Google didn't line the pockets of the right politicians this time around, which caused this judgment to be levied upon them. Wasn't Google's company mantra at one time, "Don't be evil"?
Yes.
And that was inspired by the company's founder's hatred for the actions of a company called Microsoft.
Yes.
Now I confess that I still harbor anger towards Google for the company's sabotage of Windows Phone.
Huh?
Remember that mobile operating system?
No.
Well, I do. And I still think that that was the best mobile operating system of its day. But alas, it was strangled by Google refusing to release any of its apps for the platform. Google was successful at killing Windows Phone because of its monopoly. You know, just imagine having three viable mobile operating systems on the market and the innovation we'd have seen spurred on by this competition instead of the two-horse race we have now, with both sides content to just sit back and copy each other. It's not clear what action the U.S. Department of Justice will take in regards to this judgment. And they might force Google to separate its services from Android, for example, but I doubt we'll see that because then Apple would have to do the same with iOS. And you know, that's just not happening. I'd settle for the user to have a choice in what search engine and browser they would like during the setup of their device, but at this point, most would probably pick Google anyway. Hey, don't worry though. Google will appeal this judgment and probably have it reversed once a new occupant of the Oval Office arrives. An occupant Google helped put in there with the company's tilted search results. DigitalTrends.com has an opinion piece whose headline is, quote, Chromebooks lost their chance to shine, unquote. The gist of the article is that Google had a chance to make the Chromebook a viable alternative to Windows PCs and Macs, but treated the Chromebook like a half-hearted experiment. Google was probably content with the Chromebook dominating the education market, figuring that the youth that use them throughout their education process would at least gravitate towards Android versus iOS.
Wrong.
Or perhaps even sticking with Chrome OS.
Wrong.
Apple was once dominant within the education market, but couldn't match the cheap prices of Chromebooks Google offered to the often cash-strapped boards of education. You know, what Apple has that Google doesn't is the premium effect, and that's thanks to a great marketing department. Besides price, Chromebooks had an advantage of longer battery life, quietness, and they lasted a long time. With the introduction of Apple Silicon, the giant fruit company negated those advantages, and with the recent introduction of Windows running on ARM chips, well, Google has lost whatever opportunity they had to be a worthy contender. Now sure, back in 2017, Google released the beautiful Pixelbook running Chrome OS that I and many lusted after, but the $1,000 price tag and incompatibility of apps turned many off at the time, including myself. Google tried again with their more affordable Pixel Slate and Pixelbook Go models, but cheaped out on the specs, which doomed those models from the start. Since then, Google has largely ignored Chrome OS, and earlier this year announced that Chrome OS will basically be combined with Android, which signals to me at least that they've all but given up on Chrome OS. This despite fixing all those problems they had with the original Pixelbook. Last year, Google announced the Chromebook Plus certification, which brings faster processors and better screens and even a splash of AI to Chromebooks. And here's another problem. While streamlining my computing device setup last year, you know, I considered purchasing a high-end Chromebook in lieu of a MacBook. All the apps I really needed were available via web versions, you know, like the suite of productivity apps from both Microsoft and Apple. I could use my main desktop-bound computer for hard copies of these apps and use the web-based ones when I was remote or just didn't feel like firing up my desktop device. While looking at Chromebooks that I might consider purchasing, I couldn't find one that included all the features I wanted within one model. All I wanted were the best screens available and a backlit keyboard. That's it. At the time, I couldn't find a Chromebook that had both. It was either one or the other. Chromebook models that were close to what I wanted were even more expensive than MacBooks that had everything I wanted and more. Hence my purchase of the MacBook Air I currently use. The author of the article, as well as I, feel that besides a missed opportunity for Google to actually matter in the laptop market at least, it may be too late for anything at this point. To me, Google is first an ad sales company, second a mobile operating company, and hasn't yet decided what else it is. I love the concept of a light client computing device, but Google doesn't seem to know or care about properly executing it. Perhaps a company like Proton could launch a thin client like Chromebook and populate it with its own hyper-secure apps. Nah, what am I thinking? From an article on Engadget.com, Google has replaced its wildly popular Chromecast TV streaming system with a proper TV streaming box. Well, this is good, but I'm failing to understand why Google had to discontinue the Chromecast system. I think it could have lived in harmony with this new streaming box. Anyway, Google's new streaming box is taking a page from Apple's underutilized Apple TV streaming box, attempting to make it a hub for your smart home, besides being an entertainment hub. The new box is equipped with support for the Matter and Thread home automation systems, along with HDR, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, and spatial audio. Of course, the Google TV streaming box will have AI in order to recommend content to watch. Yeah, it's a little overkill if you ask me, but no one is actually asking me anything lately. A price wasn't announced, but you can be sure it will be much more expensive than what a Chromecast dongle had cost. According to Bloomberg.com, Apple is set to release an M4 chip-equipped Mac Mini, and it will be the smallest computer that Apple has ever made.
Wow.
The article posits that this new Mini Mac Mini will be the size of an Apple TV streaming box, which is but half the size of the current model Mac Mini, one of which sits on my desk. Actually, the Apple TV box is less than half the size of the current model Mac Mini, and that's pretty small. This device will have at least three USB-C ports and an HDMI port around back, which is a good thing. It'll be more power efficient than the current model also. This new Mini might even be cheaper to buy than the base model's $599 starting price. And that's a real good thing. I love my M2 chipped Mac Mini, and I can't see myself buying any other model of a desktop Mac. The flexibility of using the mouse, display, or keyboard of your choosing is liberating. And speaking of peripherals, when are we going to see new models of the Magic Keyboard and Magic Mouse?
I don't know.
Zoom. No, not the audio equipment manufacturer. I'm talking about the security hold video conferencing software company that gained popularity during the COVID lockdowns.
China.
Zoom has not only released its version of AI, but has also launched a Google Docs competitor called, what else? Zoom Docs. I'm sure, like Google Docs, your documents will be mined and scraped, but not for advertising targeting in this case. Nah, but for other nefarious reasons by the Ministry of State Security. The new word processor will be free to everyone that uses Zoom. But remember, kids, nothing is really free.
No.
If you don't happen to have a paid subscription to Zoom, you're limited to 10 shared docs per month, but you still will get unlimited personal docs. Nice, right? Yeah, very generous of them. If you actually pay for a Zoom subscription, everything will be unlimited and you'll have access to Zoom AI. If you have no need for a video conferencing app or an artificial intelligent client, it's best to stick with the hard copies of a word processor or perhaps Google Docs if you must. If you're the proud owner of an Apple account, well, the company's full suite of productivity apps are available via the web at iCloud.com. For Mac security, well, I'd recommend Proton Docs, but let me warn you, that service is not yet ready for prime time. I'll let you know when I feel it is. Overall, Zoom is not really a secure solution. Though the company sort of denies it, data still runs thick through their mainland China servers. Zoom Docs was probably coded in China, just like the main video conferencing app was, so there's that. And who really knows how many backdoors have been placed in these products? Tech I'm using. With all this relocating stuff happening, I really haven't had a chance to even think about the tech I'm using. Anyway, if the tech I'm using is functioning properly, I don't pay attention to it at all. And that's the way it should be, in my opinion.
Yes.
Besides the tech I've already told you that I'll be buying in the near future, you know, a new television and some HomePod Pros or something similar to go along with it, there's no iPhone, iPad, Mac, or MacBook on my horizon. Last year, I took care of all my computing needs. The only thing this year I'm looking forward to are the new AirPods Pro. My current second-generation models are getting long in the tooth, as the cool kids say.
No!
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be getting the next generation of the Apple Watch if and only if there's a redesign and it features blood pressure monitoring. If the new Apple Watch doesn't have those features, I'll just hang on to my Series 7 Apple Watch. It still does everything I need, which are notifications and health and fitness stuff, and it does it well. The battery doesn't last as long as it used to, but since I'm an old retired guy now, I'm usually close to a charger. Though, while driving back and forth from New York to Tennessee, the watch barely has a charge left when I arrive. I just remembered, I'm having a problem with my Aura Ring. which isn't the fault of the Oura Ring itself. Because of all the driving and packing I've been doing, my fitness regimen has severely suffered. Of course, this has led to increased weight, especially around my middle. Another area that seems to have suffered from this are my fingers. It has become an effort putting on and especially taking off my Oura Ring these days, and also making it a painful experience. In the past, my Oura Ring fit was a bit loose, so I've got some fat to lose. The junk food I'm consuming on these trips isn't helping either.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Entertainment news. Well, not much going on here this week, as usual. As summer starts to reach its end, so does the so-called Hollywood blockbuster season. It was an unusually quiet season. I think the Deadpool movie has been the biggest release so far, while most other movies have just flopped. I know there was nothing released that would tempt me to drag my old fart butt to the theater, but that just might be age-related. Television series I follow will be dropping new episodes soon, and I look forward to that, but for some reason I can no longer log into the MGM Plus app on my Apple TV, nor the direct stream account through which I subscribe to MGM Plus. I can still get into the DirecTV app on Apple TV and the mobile version, but I can't access my account. All this won't matter soon, as I'll be canceling my DirecTV stream service at the end of the month. The only reason I kept DirecTV Stream around, despite its high cost, was only because of the YES Network. And that's where the majority of the New York Yankees baseball games are broadcast on. Fubo has since started carrying the YES Network, and at a lower price, but this has come too late for me. Once we complete the move to the new place, we'll be able to watch the Yankees using the MLB app, which I get gratis from T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
I like bragging about that. I still have to subscribe to some streaming service in order to watch Yankee games broadcast on ESPN and the playoffs, which the MLB app doesn't carry.
What?
And that's if the Yankees actually make the playoffs.
Yes.
No.
Yes?
Yeah, I know I could always go the pirating route, but I believe in paying for things, having been ripped off myself in the past. And that's something that appears to be fading in these modern times. And speaking of canceling streaming services, the free streaming app industry is kind of going through a shakeup right now. Crackle, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Popcorn Flicks will be ceasing operations at the end of this month. Crackle was the first streaming service I used and really liked, and is owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul, having been purchased from Sony some time ago. I think I remember Chicken Soup for the Soul being a movie producer back what someone once told me to refer to as the day. I never knew about or used the Chicken Soup for the Soul app, but I used to really enjoy Crackle when Sony owned it. Back then, the service had Crackle originals, most of them quite well done. I last checked into Crackle a few months ago and found it to be a barren wasteland these days. The Crackle originals were still there, but haven't been updated for years. As far as Popcorn Flicks goes, I first started using it on a recommendation from an old Nokia friend during the COOF lockdown times, where it sort of took the streaming world by storm. Well, the last time I tried using that app, besides being constantly bombarded with advertisements, the stream kept stuttering, forcing me to reboot the app. Streaming services such as Pluto and Tubi have rung the death knell for the once great services like Crackle and Popcorn Flicks. Being also free, having more content, and backed by major corporations and their cash. I think we can expect more free streaming services to drop out as time goes on. Yeah, I'm looking at you, FilmRise. But what do you think? Podcast news. Elon Musk gets a win. Or did he? Well, here's some background. When Mr. Musk bought Twitter, one of the first things he did was to dissolve the platform's internal censorship apparatus. Of course, this popped the politically leftist bubble that Twitter had become, and this outraged the elite. In response to this outrage, the woke cabal and its supporters sicked the Global Alliance for Responsible Media, also known as GARM, on the new Twitter owner. GARM and other entities like it were formed around the time that the COVID crisis was just beginning, and all that it brought with it was just picking up steam. A coincidence?
No.
I think not. It was like they knew what was coming, isn't it? Yeah, that old gag. Anyway, I figure the logic behind these, well, let's call them for what they are, censorship bureaus, is for getting around the United States Constitution pesky First Amendment, which grants freedom of speech to citizens. The First Amendment was written back when being a citizen actually meant something, unlike these days. Hey, but I digress. Most, if not all, of these censorship bureaus also have an influx of funding from the U.S. and other governments. The way GARM and its fellow organizations work is to dissuade advertisers from placing ads on certain platforms, thus starving these platforms of the money they need to operate. Prior to targeting Twitter and EX, this method was used by GARM to quite successfully target platforms, the majority of, if not all, being conservative-leaning news sites like Breitbart, Zero Hedge, and video platforms like Rumble. So, when Elon Musk didn't fall in line, GARM organized an advertising boycott of Twitter, costing the site millions, if not billions of dollars in advertising revenue. However, unlike the previous victims of GARM, old Elon has a bunch of money available for his war chest and used it to launch a lawsuit against GARM. Rumble also joined the lawsuit. The lawsuit was bolstered by a recent U.S. House of Representatives hearing, which uncovered a concerted effort to boycott X and other platforms just because the targeted entity's opinions or ideology didn't align with GARM's mission or goals. The original mission was to help advertisers to avoid spending money on platforms which had, quote, harmful or violent content, unquote. GARM's aforementioned targets were never cited for either as a reason for their boycott calls, and that was according to GARM's own internal documents. This leads me to believe that the real reason for these boycotts was ideological.
Yeah, boy.
To the surprise of Musk and Rumble, the World Federation of Advertisers, the creator and overlord of GARM, decided to just dissolve GARM, ceasing its operations. This caused the CEO of Rumble, one Chris Pavlovsky, to say, quote, "What are they hiding?" unquote. Indeed, what are they hiding? For now, all free speech advocates can claim a win. But don't worry, there are many such organizations like the now-defunct GARM still out there, flush with government money, who will keep doing the same thing, just on a smaller scale. A death by a thousand cuts scenario, if you will. Though this really has nothing directly to do with podcasting, there are shady outfits like Barometer, which was born from shadowy funding and with a headquarters located near CIA headquarters, that was created to function just like GARM, except concentrating on podcasts. I got most of the information for this story from Breitbart, a previous victim of GARM, as I referenced earlier. Well, the last late-night television program I watched was hosted by actor and comedian Craig Ferguson. I just recently discovered that he has a podcast called Joy, a Podcast. It's basically an interview-type format, and it's pretty good. It doesn't come near capturing the magic that Late Night with Craig Ferguson had, but a recent episode reunited Mr. Ferguson with the fellow comedian who provided the voice of Jeff the Robot and the front half of the late show's infamous dancing horse. The episode gave insight about the production of Late Night and how the show's boss, David Letterman, ignored it, which gave the show carte blanche to do whatever it wanted. For the time, the show's ratings were considered on the low side, probably because of its late broadcast time. But nowadays, Late Night would be crushing anything that airs presently. All we're left with these days are shows hosted by parrots of the Democratic political party's current talking points. Ferguson and his two fellow late show alumni decided to get together next year in order to make plans for a new show. Not a broadcast type, but this one would probably be hosted on YouTube. Well, I'm kind of excited by this project. Do you bother to watch any of the late-night offerings currently on broadcast television? If you were a fan of The Late Show with Craig Ferguson, you'll like Joy, a podcast. If you weren't, well, you still might enjoy it. The last episode of the OFNT podcast had a buzziness in its audio. I don't know what caused this, and I didn't notice it until listening back to it after I had uploaded it. Once I noticed, I went back and remastered the episode and re-uploaded it, hopefully sans buzzing. I'm pretty sure the culprit was one of the audio plugins I was messing around with. Usually I catch things like this, but for some reason, this one got by me. If I had Joe Rogan money, I'd hire an audio engineer, but alas, I don't have that kind of money and I never will.
No.
So I guess you'll just have to put up with these quirks.
Yes.
The next couple of episodes will most likely be recorded down in Tennessee. Well, at least episode 231 will be. And this time I'm really bringing the Electro Voice RE320. That microphone should make the audio much more pleasant to listen to. Fingers crossed. The music is playing and I've run out of things to talk about. I'll talk to you next week from the great state of Tennessee. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. So now finish up what you're doing and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. Oh, and here's a birthday shout out for my son-in-law, Steven. Happy birthday, kid. I'm out.
See ya.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.